You're listening to the Namaste Babe podcast, a high vibe hangout for the spiritually woke woman ready to make quantum leaps in her life, business, and bank account. I'm your host, Kiki Yura, and I refuse to play by the rules. I'm an ex-9-to-5er turned spiritual life and business coach, master NLP practitioner, and founder of the Namaste Babe brand. I'm here to lead you into your divinity so you can manifest a life and business you are wildly obsessed with. Each week, you can expect episodes from myself and guest experts who are leaders in their field. The episodes are dedicated to your expansion on all things mindset, money, and manifestation. It is my intention that these episodes help you raise your vibration, tune into your truth, and step into a life you fucking love. Are you ready? Let's slay. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, we have a very special guest with us. This woman is someone who I have admired for such a long time in the online space. And what I love about her is that she is every bit as much herself in person as she is online. Not only that, her and I share such a similar path from how we started in business to where we are today. So I know you guys are going to love her just as much as I do. Hello, hello, Jen Casey.
Hi. Oh my God. I'm so excited for this. Patiently waiting for this amazing podcast and this conversation.
It's so funny because I like think that there's such divine timing around this, especially it is November 1st. Which is 1:11, and we are shortly going to be at 11:11 here, or 1:11 here in a second. So this is so funny. For those who don't know you, first of all, you should know Jen Casey. But if you don't know Jen Casey, I am just going to let her give a little bit about herself, who she is, and what she does. Go ahead.
Yeah. So hi, guys. I am a business strategy and master mindset coach. I'm also a speaker, host of the Inner Boss podcast. And I primarily work with online coaches who want to build, sell, and effectively run profitable group coaching programs. So my whole kind of approach to business is really integrating both the psychology, the brain-based science, along with the business methodology and strategy to really have a holistic approach to the way that I approach selling and speaking to my clients and all of the things.
So before we get started, a huge, huge, huge congratulations is in order. October was such a massive month for you. And not only did you host your first in-person event, which is like absolutely amazing, you went like days later to go and be a speaker at James Wedmore's BBD event. So let's just take a second to soak that all in. How the heck do you feel?
I feel amazing.
Good.
It was for sure the craziest, most epic, most quantum leapy, like 3 weeks of my entire business thus far. We actually did a launch while we were doing the mastermind in person. So we did a 3-part video series where we did 3 huge trainings. The last more, so the, just so I want to share this because so many people were like, wow, it looked like so perfect and blah, blah, blah. And it was perfect. It was also crazy behind the scenes. So Thursday before the mastermind event, the day before I had to like ship a bunch of stuff to my parents' house because my fiance wasn't going to be around. So my dad happens to work in Manhattan. He's driving things into the city for me. And it was just a little bit chaotic of bringing a bunch of the stuff that we needed into the space because we found this beautiful space through breather.com. Highly, highly recommend if you're in New York City.
Shout out
to them. Instead of getting a hotel space, it was like this beautiful, very Instagrammable space. It had a kitchen. It was awesome. And Thursday, I had to do my day 3 training of the video series. Zoom decided to not integrate with Facebook. I think it was a Facebook issue. And so I'm like, crap, shit, what am I going to do? It was 20 minutes late for that, literally finished that, had to pack my suitcase, grab all my stuff, get in an Uber, go to the city, meet my dad, put everything in the room. And then like, we got Ashley Gordon, who's, you know, dear friend.
Shout out, Ashley. Her episode just launched right before yours.
Oh, yay. So you guys should go in and listen to that one.
And it's
we got to the hotel and like straight up died on the bed. I was like, oh my God, I'm dead. And the next day, did a 3-day mastermind. That Monday, opened the cart for a program and did a whole cart close week. and then left for California to speak. So it was straight up crazy. I don't recommend doing three enormous projects simultaneously if you want to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember it was so funny because when I originally reached out to you saying that I was going to be finally putting this podcast together and launching it in, you were like, yeah, no, we're going to have to wait until November.
I was like, I literally don't even know how I'm going to get through the next 3 weeks. I was like, we definitely have zero time, but yeah, I'm glad we're finally getting to do this.
I am so, so happy. I was actually just with Lily in California, who was one of your participants of your event, and she had nothing but incredible things to say about it. So it looked absolutely amazing.
It far exceeded any of my expectations. And I just have to shout out the women in the room because they were all like, you know, you created this, you did this, thank you, you, you. And I was like, guys, no. Like, I've been to events every single month for the last 2 years straight, and I've never experienced anything like this room. So I'm not the common denominator. Like, I've been to all these rooms. It's never been like this. I was like, so it's the collective. Like, it was every person who showed up so ready, so open, so coachable. And it's like, that really, with coaching in general, like being able to call in that right group of people is so important. Like,
We were just talking about this actually in our, the shift from our practitioner training into the energy of the master practitioner training was like night and day. Like everyone in that collective room was just next level, high vibe. It was such a different energy. And, well, this is something that we're going to be talking about in a bit here, but I want to go back to where it all began in the good old network marketing days. You and I both worked for the same company in a health and fitness network marketing industry company, blah, blah, blah. And I know when I joined, I was just kind of looking for a way to hold myself accountable to my fitness. And maybe, you know, the idea of making a couple extra $100 a month was really nice. But when you first started, did you have that entrepreneurial bone, right? Like right from the get-go?
I don't think I did. I mean, I had been doing the workout program since 2004, well before they had transitioned into a network marketing opportunity structure. And so for me, I remember it was like 2011. I was getting incredible results again, where I had actually finally fully committed to something. You know, the way they set it up, it's like, go for 30 days, go for 60 days. So I was like all in for 60 days, had amazing results. People were asking me what I was doing. I was inviting friends over to try the workouts. Didn't even know there was like a way that I could monetize it. And when I realized that that was a possibility, I immediately was, I saw, okay, this can be something. Now in my head, because so many people were asking me questions about it, I computed, well, this is going to be a $1 million business overnight, right? Like not $1 million, but like I thought it was going to be pretty darn successful. So I sign up, you know, with the network marketing company and start sharing my link on social media. And I'm like, this is going to be amazing. And people weren't as willing to fork over money as I thought at the time. And I had just graduated from my psychology degree in college, and I was about to step into going to the Stella Adler Studio of Acting Conservatory in Manhattan. So I was like doing this transition that was kind of like my gift to myself, feeding my soul as my like post-grad. And I knew that I needed to make money while I was there because I couldn't really work in a restaurant with the way that classes were with the hours. So I had to figure out another way to have a stream of income where I wasn't working all weekend. And so I kind of dove headfirst all in. It was tough going for that first year, but I made enough to like cover the basics.
Yeah.
And I was very happy about that, but I was working nonstop. I was constantly on my phone, on my computer, and I didn't have that entrepreneurial bone at first. But what I started to realize later on while I was at Stella Adler was I would be on the Long Island Railroad going back to my parents' house, and I would be sitting there not learning my lines for whatever I was doing. Instead, I was posting on Twitter, reading something about, you know, how to do whatever on Facebook. So I was in a severe amount of denial for a long time that that actually was what I was feeling pulled to do. I could say, oh, my identity is that I'm an actor, I'm a performer, but my behavior said otherwise. So I it took a while, but, you know, probably like 2 years of like continuing to, you know, perform. And I was working at the Shakespeare Theater of New Jersey, kind of put all the entrepreneur stuff on hold. And it wasn't until 2014 that I really came back to it, where I had auditioned for grad schools and something just didn't feel right about it. Like, I got callbacks at Yale, so I was like, I'm good with that. And I didn't, in my head, that was where I actually had set the bar. Like, that was what I wanted to achieve. I didn't actually want to get in, what I realized later reflecting, because I didn't want to live in Connecticut. I remember going there going, I can't see myself living here. I don't care how good the school is. This won't be my life. And it was just something in my gut. And it was like a week later that I kind of jumped back into the network marketing company, started watching a bunch of webinars. I remember watching a Brendon Burchard webinar where he was like, here's how to make $1 million online. And he like broke down all the simple math, which I love doing for people now. And it opened up something in my brain that went, oh my God, this is possible. I can create an online course. Mm-hmm. And so I still have the piece of paper. It was from April 1st, 2014. I used to write out my 10 goals every week as per Shalene Johnson taught me. And so I was going to make $100,000 online selling online courses. And at the time, I remember telling my mom, telling my dad, telling my therapist, telling my fiance, my now fiance, and I was like, I'm going to do this. And pretty much everyone thought I was straight up crazy mm-hmm. because I was working as a bartender. I was an unbooked musical theater performer who like didn't know what they really wanted to do. And I just said, this is what I'm going to create. And I had only really had very little success with, you know, network marketing. I wasn't consistent with it in the past. It was kind of a hobby for me. It was just a side hustle. Mm-hmm. So now to say that I'm going all in with this thing and I'm quitting bartending, people were like, you're freaking nuts. Like, you're not going to be able to do it. People tried to talk me out of it, but I quit my bartending job, serving job, and just went all in. And I went all in because I had shared some before and afters, made like $800 in 1 week.
Woo.
And I was like, I can do this. This is possible. But I didn't have a course idea. I didn't have an email list. I didn't really have a social media following. So this was a ginormous blind leap of faith. I like to call this phase of my business ignorance on fire, because I did not actually have any fucking clue what I was getting myself into. But I had decided. It was a commitment. So the how didn't really matter. It was already decided that this is what I was going to create. Didn't matter how long. Didn't matter what had to happen. It was done. And the next couple of, the next year and a half, I spent in network marketing, you know, going on winning the vacations or earning the vacations, doing all the accolades, rocking all the, you know, fat stacked lanyards at the events.
Yeah,
all
the lanyards.
Like, look at me with my gold, with my medal around my neck, all that shit. And then, you know, something just stopped feeling right about it. And I remember December of 2015, it was New Year's Eve, and I was late to a party because I was trying to quote unquote like hit certain points. And I was like, what am I doing? I made the decision to go all in with entrepreneurship so that I could have freedom. And now I have the opposite of that. I feel more caged, more boxed in than ever before. Because actually the reason that I quit my bartending job, it was on Easter of 2014. And I was like, I don't want to be not with my family. I want to be
you. Can you just quickly tell that story?
It's
one of my favorites.
Yes. So I went into my bartending waitress job at a TGI Fridays, and I had no table. So for those of you who have been in the restaurant industry, you know what that's like, where you walk in and there's nobody there. Especially, I was positioned in the bar, so bar tops. Nobody's coming to have Easter dinner at a bar top. So it's completely empty. And I remember I had one table that gave me a $13 tip on credit card. So this is like the detail for people who actually
who get it.
Yeah. And they had just created some bullshit rule that it was intended to protect us, but then the restaurant, of course, was using it against us. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you came in and you got cut, so you got sent home because of lack of need, before 2 hours, the restaurant had to pay you a minimum of 4 hours. So that should be good for the servers and bartenders, but the way that the restaurant was like, great, we don't need you on the floor, so we're just going to make you do random shit behind the scenes, like roll silverware for 2 hours because we're paying you, so we get to make these rules. Mm-hmm. So I was there on Easter, and Easter of all things, right? And I had no tables. I had that one table, and so people were like, well, you know, you should send her home. He's like, nope, you've like made some money. You've made some tips. So So because you've made those tips, we now can't pay you minimum wage as a food runner, which would be $8. You're still getting paid $4 an hour because you got that $13 tip. It now puts you over the amount. I'm like,
oh my God.
So I was like literally furious. And all the other servers were like, send her home, dude. What are you doing? Why are you being such a dick? Like saying that to the manager.
Yeah.
And he was like, look, if you have nothing better to do, why don't you clean the base of the bar? I thought he was joking because he was a friend. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, haha, very funny. He's like, no, seriously, it's dirty. Like, go get some gloves. Go get, I'm like, what? Scrub the base of the bar. What are you even talking about? And he's talking about the part where people, guests would put their feet.
Yeah, that's what cleaners are there for.
Exactly. That's not in my job description. And so I said, absolutely not. He then went and got all of the hosts who were like 15, 16 years old to go and put gloves on, put little aprons on and get scrubbing. So now the area where I was supposed to be serving tables reeked of Clorox. So yeah. Now definitely, you know, to sit, you know, back at me because I didn't want to, you know, because I was asking to get sent home. And so it was just a very manipulative environment, very belittling, condescending environment where I was constantly, like, I remember one of my other managers, I told him, you know, if, you know, that I was thinking about quitting. He's like, cool, you're a dime a dozen. And I was like, awesome. I've been here for 8 years. And like, you're almost like a second, like family member to me, but I guess I'll just go jump in a river because clearly I don't matter to you. You know, it's just like, it was insane. And so that day my manager was like, if you have nothing to do, go clean the base of the bar. I was like, absolutely not. Went in the bathroom, like stood against the tile. And I just like, that was my spot where I would go and cry like tears of frustration in the past where
oh, yes.
I felt like the walls were caving in. And it wasn't because like people were mean to me or I had a bad customer. It was just because I was like, I need to get the hell out of here. And that day I went in there and I cried because that was the moment that I made the decision that I was leaving and never coming back. And no one could talk me out of it because I realized that I had constantly backpedaled. I would be like, I'm going to quit. And then go in my head and go, well, it's close to where I live. It's convenient. I have seniority. I know how the computer system works, blah, blah, blah. And like, I have really good, I get preference over hours and I can request off and most of the time get coverage. So I would come up with all the reasons why I shouldn't leave. And that was my last straw. And because I was like too good of a goody two shoes, like rule, not a rule breaker at the time. Now I would be like this and like walked out. But at the time.
Were you very blue?
What do you mean?
From the master prac, the oh. Hierarchy of
yes, colors. Yes. Well, so I still
spiral
have like
that dynamics.
Yes, exactly. We've elevated, thankfully. I think at the time I still had this little voice in my head that was like, leave on good terms.
Yeah.
Don't make it a big dramatic thing, which other people had done in the past. And, you know, everyone talked about it. Oh my God, I can't believe she walked out on a shift. And, you know, I didn't want to be that person. I wanted to leave on good terms if I needed them for a reference in the future. Clearly never once have, you know, like I wanted to be able to lean on that. So I waited and ended up quitting 2 weeks later or not 2 weeks later, the next shift I put in my 2 weeks. And I remember a different manager was there who had had a lot of drug problems and different things. And I remember talking to him and he was like, you know, you should stay a little longer. Why don't you stay and save up some money? And I was like, no, dude, I can't do that. Well, you know, I've been here for 17 years and I wish I could quit. And so he almost, I mean, he did project his own personal fears and limitations onto me. And thank God I was in a place where I had a high level of certainty in my decision because, I mean, I was getting that left and right. And had I been even a little bit uncertain, I wouldn't be sitting here today.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy how one decision can completely alter the like course of our lives.
Yeah. And we have those opportunities in every moment. And
absolutely.
I don't think people realize that. Yeah,
absolutely. Actually, that's one of the things that my training taught me the past 2 weeks was like, you get to choose, you get to decide. And it's so funny to hear you say this because this story really resonates for me on a personal level as I was also in high school, I went to a performing arts high school. I was a dance major. And so that like all speaks to me. But then I was a server and a bartender for 10 years. Like I spent an entire decade in the service industry. And I think so many people who are familiar with that lifestyle will totally resonate with you in terms of the safety and the security, even though it's not safe and secure, like you really are a dime a dozen in that industry. But servers make such good money that you see so many people especially in big cities, who rely on that money, right? I mean, in Canada, it's not the same as in the States where you guys get like peanuts for minimum wage. At least we still make a lower minimum wage, but it's still relatively a livable wage. But yeah, it's really interesting to see how many people just like grasp onto that for, even if they do have a full-time job, they still really struggle to like let go of that. But it's really in that decision of, do I want to be that person 17 years later saying, I wish I could quit?
Yeah. And that was really a moment for me, even before that's a moment that I quit, where I had a unsettling moment. I remember it was in 2013, probably around Thanksgiving time. And I remember being at the restaurant and just having this thought kind of cross my mind where I realized that there's no more school, because I had done my undergrad and then I did, you know, Stella Adler. There's no more school. There's no more of anybody telling you what to do next. And the idea or the thought that came to me was, if you don't take action and figure out what you're going to create, you have two paths. You're either going to become a TGI Fridays lifer and be here 17 years later, or you're going to figure it the fuck out and you're going to do something about it. And I remember that shook me to my freaking core.
Yeah.
That scared the hell out of me because I didn't want to be a TGI lifer. I didn't feel like I ever fit in with that group of people. It was such a toxic environment at that particular restaurant where, you know, it was drink all night long, come in, laugh about how everyone was so hungover. You know, meet up after shift is over and complain about your worst customer, go out drinking. It was just
like do it all over again.
And then, you know, when I started doing more entrepreneur stuff, people were like, why aren't you coming out? Why aren't you doing this? Where'd you go? Why aren't you doing? And I'm like, I can't be part of this. Like, this just is such a toxic environment. And my best friend was very much a part of that. And she was kind of like the queen bee of that. And I remember feeling so much like an outsider.
Yeah.
And kind of like faking it, faking that I was having fun because I'm such an introvert. And the majority of the world, like introverts compared to extroverts, the majority of the world is extroverts. And that was a very extroverted group of people. And so I was constantly being told like, oh, you're not fun. Oh, why aren't you coming out drinking more? You this and that. And so I was taking on all of those layers and constantly being beat down because I didn't want to get drunk. And it was just this... Just a very toxic environment of enabling and encouraging bad behavior. And I know you experienced a lot of that too.
Yes. So.
But I don't think it's exclusive to, you know, restaurants either. I think there's so many people who are probably listening to this who, you know, have a friend group that's like that. Maybe not to that degree, but just even a little bit. Sometimes the more obvious negative groups, those are easier to get rid of because it's very black and white.
Yes.
But it's like the very nuanced friend who's a really good friend, but gives you those like little tiny digs where you're just not sure. You're like, she trying to throw some shade right now? My intuition's saying yes, but I don't want to make a thing of it. You know what I mean? Like, I think those are the harder for people to just get rid of because there's so many more positives. But for you guys listening, like whether it's a friend group or a family member or, you know, a job or an environment where you're spending time, like if it's not raising you up,
oh my goodness,
you gotta phase it out.
Yeah, there were so many people when I moved from British Columbia back to Toronto who knew that five-year-old Kiki compared to the Kiki that I am today. And I've had to have many tough conversations with good friends saying, listen, I know that I say no to things more than I say yes to things, but this is just who I am now. It's not anything to do with you. It's not that I don't love you. It's not the negativity. Like, it's not that they have this negative aspect. It's just, they know me to be that yes girl that I no longer am because my priorities have shifted. And it's been an interesting ride coming back to the city, but you know, those people that are meant for you, when you have those conversations with them, if they really are meant for you, then they're going to understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So obviously the real reason why I wanted to have you on here today is so that we could talk all things NLP, because this is something that you and I, again, both share. And I literally just got back from my training last night. It was rough getting up this morning.
A long 2 weeks. Yeah.
It was a very long 2 weeks. And I was telling Jen that this was in like a conference room in a hotel that didn't have windows. So that made it all the much more interesting. But it was a ton of fun. And I came back literally feeling like a brand new woman. And I know so many people out there have been curious about NLP or heard about NLP and want to know more about it. So I'm so happy to have an NLP master with me. What I would like to know is, how did you get into it? You know, where did you discover it, and what kind of piqued your curiosity about it?
So I've been exposed to a lot of the philosophies, because what a lot of people don't realize is that it's actually built into a lot of the personal development books and a lot of the teachings and coachings of a lot of different people. They just might not be calling it out and saying it's NLP, it's neurolinguistic programming. So, you know, I've been exposed to it. Yeah, I've been exposed for too long for time. And then when I actually went to my first Tony Robbins event, I was doing business coaching already at the time. And I remember leaving that event realizing that I needed to change my entire coaching approach.
Ooh.
And I remember getting on was one of my first like podcasts with a, you know, person who I looked up to, and he was like, so what do you want to talk about? And I was like, dude, I don't know. Like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what, like, I can't talk about the things that I used to talk about because it doesn't resonate for me anymore. And I see. So basically what I realized was, you know, I was running these very large group coaching programs with between 80 and 140 people.
Wow.
And I would see the pool of people where some people were absolutely killing it, you know, hitting 5K months, like just taking off. And there was like this like other group of people, the other maybe like less than 25%, who were, you know, signing their first client, taking action. They're a little behind. And then there were people who kept showing up consistently. Then there were people who were showing up consistently and only complaining and not taking responsibility and being in complete victim mode. And every time they posted, it was kind of like, here we go. Like, okay, let's look, you know. And then there was the people who just didn't, who invested in themselves and then didn't show up at all. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what's going on? Like, I didn't like that. I didn't like that somebody was going to invest in, if it's a course, I understand some people don't have the intention of going all in with it right away. They might hire a team member to go through it. So I get that. But with a group coaching program, why would you invest in something and then not show up for it at all? So I remember being frustrated with kind of managing this dynamic and this large, widespread of people. Like, why is it that all of these, you know, let's say 100 people all have access to the same coaching? They're getting the same step-by-step, and they're getting such drastic different results. And that was where I felt like I really needed to stop and pause and say, why is this happening? What is stopping these other people? And that was right after I left Tony Robbins, I realized that I was touching on the mindset pieces, but not at the level that because it was a lot of newer entrepreneurs and they needed a lot of mindset help. And in the past, when I would do business coaching, it was definitely more of business consulting because it was business strategy. And so people would ask questions like, where should I go live? Should I go on my business page or my Facebook group? And I had a business partner at the time, and we would answer those things at face value. But I don't answer that shit anymore because that's not a real question. Yeah. It's like, why now, because of NLP, I'm going, why is this person asking this question? Why is this coming up? What's actually motivating this question? What's the question beneath the question? And usually the thought or belief beneath that is, and not always, but I'm like, okay, why are they asking, where should I go live? So I dig a little bit deeper, and usually, not always, but oftentimes there's some kind of belief around, I don't want to choose the wrong thing. And then the belief is like, if I choose the wrong thing, then I won't get anybody on, which means my business isn't going to grow, which means my business is going to fail. And so they build out all of these stories, which is why they start asking these really, really surface nitpicky questions. And they're not trusting themselves. They're not paying attention to their audience. And so the root problem is actually far deeper, but they're staying on the surface because it's really safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So for those listening who are like, what the heck is NLP? Yeah. What is the best way that you would describe it?
Oh, the best way. Well, it's neuro-linguistic programming. So it sounds really fancy.
And
sciencey, which it kind of, the approach is very systematic because it was created by two guys who were programmers. So that's why it sound like a lot of the terminology in it is very, I don't know, what would you call it?
Like so we were just talking about this beforehand.
Yeah.
I say there's a lot of masculine energy behind it.
Yes.
But
that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. At the same time, it's a process of modeling, like at its core. So while it sounds super fancy, it's actually like very basic.
Yeah, yeah. And so really neurolinguistic programming, it looks at the way that our thoughts, emotional state, physiology, behaviors impacts our results. Mm-hmm. And so what we're able to do, the programming piece, the way that I look at it is think of the brain like a computer. We are young children and we grow up and we get these beliefs and these values and these identities that we take on that are not serving our highest purpose, our highest result, the thing that we want to move towards. And so we have all this internal conflict. And so essentially what neurolinguistic programming allows you to do is to reprogram your brain, reprogram the computer and remove the virus.
Yes.
I feel like that's like the like straightforward. I've never explained it like that before, but I'm always trying to find the easiest
ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love one of the things that Michael said. He is the creator of the company that Jen and I both went through. And he says it's like the lost user manual for your mind.
I like that.
And I love that description because it really is like if you had the tools to completely eradicate your negative emotions, your limiting beliefs, like what could that do for you? And it is so insanely powerful having literally just gone through this. We spent 8 hours in pairs giving each other breakthrough days. And I know you and Ashley were both partners for your breakthrough days. What was that like for you?
It was incredible. And the biggest thing, so essentially with a breakthrough day, you kind of choose a point of focus. And I remember mine was all about visibility. And I had so many incredible breakthroughs around that in relation to the way that I was showing up in my business and weirdly my weight that I had made a decision when I was a young kid. Cause I hit puberty in like third grade. So, and I'm, for those who don't know how
I am
like,
so sorry.
I know it was rough. I was like literally known as the girl with the big boobs in fourth grade. I had like large B cups as you know, an 8-year-old, you know, 9-year-old, it was like not the best. And I had a massive growth spurt. I was 5'1" by like the end of fifth grade. So I was one of the tallest people in my class. So that's really
which
where
is
my
really funny because you
because
are not-
that's when I stopped growing. So I still have this identity that I'm far taller than I actually am.
But
and
hey,
I kind of carry
you.
Well, it's funny because people meet me in person and they go, I feel like you are taller online. I almost didn't recognize you.
That's what I said about you. That's what I said about Steph.
Like, yeah.
When I got to meet the spiritual boss babe, like same thing. You guys carry yourselves with such a large presence, which is amazing.
Well, people, you're only seeing from like boobs up on camera.
Yeah.
So you'd never know.
You'd never know.
But yeah, so I realized that when I was younger, because I was so much bigger, I wasn't necessarily fat, but I was, or overweight, but I was just bigger than everybody.
Which
I had wide hips, hip puberty looked like I was 5 years older than everyone else. And so boys weren't interested in me. They weren't attracted to me. And so I apparently created a belief that if I am larger, then I won't, like they didn't see me. I felt invisible to them. So if I'm larger, then I won't be visible. And I was like, where the fuck did that come from? So that was some really weird, deep-rooted belief that actually occurred right after my breakthrough day. And I was like, oh my God, Ashley, this is so crazy. This just popped in my head. So there was a lot of cool stuff around that that I was able to release and let go of. And really, I mean, this year has been a beautiful reflection of the healing of that, you know, getting to speak on stage and have a mastermind and just be so much more visible and be so much more comfortable in my body. Like I just feel different. I feel like a different person. And I remember at the time, I guess Ashley really knew me more as somebody that spoke to strategy and more of the masculine energy of business. And we got to the end of the breakthrough day and she's asking me different questions and we're doing different things. And I was just like, we're all one, like we're all high level consciousness. And she was dying laughing. She was like, who are you right now? I don't even know this version of Jen. Who are you? She was flipping out. It was
That's
quite funny.
So funny because mine went the exact opposite. So
really?
Well, you know me. I am like so in my feminine, masculine strategy, like nuh-uh, that's not me at all. And I went from words of like, so we what you do is in the beginning of your breakthrough day and at the end of the breakthrough day, you elicit your values. And one of the things, or like a couple of the values that I had was like bliss, alignment, freedom, like all of these airy fairy words. And then at the end, it was like motivation, discipline, drive. Like it Whoa. Was crazy. So I feel like a new woman right now. And I felt it. It was so hilarious because my partner was like, oh, okay, well, you know, we were all driving together from the Airbnb and she goes, well, what are you going to do now? I'm like, I'm going to go fucking work. It was like the craziest thing. I was like, I'm motivated. Like I wanted on wow. the plane last night. I usually sleep on airplanes. I stayed up the entire time. I drank 2 cups of coffee. I pumped out all this content for my brand new program. Like it was wild.
Wow.
It was absolutely wild. And so just even instantaneously, you can see those shifts. Like it does not take time for those breakthroughs to sink in, which is what I love about NLP.
That's one of the things I love too, because I've done a lot of work with, you know, various clients. And one of the biggest fears I see people have around doing NLP work, and probably why they've avoided therapy, is because they don't want to reassociate back into the pain. Mm. They don't want to have to relive that experience. And what I so deeply love about NLP and why I recommend it to anyone and everyone is because you don't have to relive the pain or even associate back into negative memories. That's actually not productive. That's just rewiring. Fire what you fire together, you wire together, as Joe Dispenza says, neurologically. And so it's like, you actually don't want to go back to those things. Yeah. Sometimes it can be helpful, but the beautiful thing about NLP is that you don't need to. You can release whatever those things are. You can find the breakthroughs. You could get the learnings that your subconscious mind needs that's been holding on to without having to be in a state of discomfort. Like you will have the breakthroughs without having to go there or even share with your practitioner the content.
What it is, yeah.
Like exactly. You don't need context. I just need to know, like, are you there? Great, you're there. Great, we can release it.
Yeah.
But I think that's so beautiful and it makes everyone feel so much more safe.
Mm-hmm. And there, it's funny too, the energy, like the way these sessions are set up, it's, you know, you go through and you release all of these really heavy negative emotions. And then immediately after you do that, you go back in and you rewire your limiting decisions, like things that you have, you know, told yourself about yourself. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I won't be successful. All of these things. Yeah. And in an instant, your energy just shifts and feels so much lighter. I was like, where did that come from? It was so cool. So, so cool. Wow. What I would love to know is kind of what was like the biggest maybe shift or takeaway for you from practitioner training into master prac? Because I know when I did practitioner, I felt so lost. I was like, what is this stuff? I did it back in May and I didn't even start incorporating NLP into my business until like 2 months ago.
Wow. Yeah. So for me, I very quickly took it all on. I definitely, because like you said, the way that it's taught and the way that it's approached is very tactical and strategic and there's like frameworks for things. So that works really well for my brain. And so I was implementing it almost immediately. So I would even say, like, I know Ashley and I have pretty much everybody at the master practitioner training from our group. I mean, a lot of those people had literally just done prac the week before and then went right into it.
I don't know how people do that.
I don't either. I think that's kind of crazy. Yeah. That's a lot to be trying to absorb in a short period of time. But I really loved that we had space in between because I felt so secure and like well-rehearsed in all of my stuff. Yeah. I had most of the techniques memorized and had really used them and gotten experience with them, the main ones that I use, which is really cool because then I've embodied it. It's not something that I have to go and run to the book and read a script. Like, no, I know how to do it. I know how to troubleshoot things. So that's been really fun for me. I really took a liking to it very quickly. And it's great too, because I use it in everything that I do in business, not just, you know, with coaching clients one-on-one, but there's so much that's applicable to
group coaching,
and even to like the business stuff, the way that you write emails, the way that you write copy for sales pages, the way that, you know, you speak on live video. You know, you can add in like Milton model patterns when you're speaking to people and help them take on some of the suggestions of beliefs that they would like to have. And so there's so many ways that we can, you know, use it for good and weave it into, you know, what we're doing as business owners to create a much bigger impact on people. So I love it for all the things.
You literally, it was so funny because I'll get to this in a minute, but Jen and I met a couple months ago, and after we connected, I invested in her Pitch to Your Niche program, and it was so funny. Like, one of the very first things that was in there was be at cause, which is like the first thing that you learn in NLP. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there's NLP and there's NLP. It was very, very interesting to see.
Yeah. Well, actually, the way that I teach course creation is completely based, obviously, there's a big business component to it, but it is really a brain-based approach, mm-hmm. psychology-backed approach to, you know, growing a business. Because if you don't know the psychology of your clients, just even step one, you're done. But you know, you got to know your people.
It's bringing some massive success to your clients. Like, look at Amanda King. She has literally just blown up this year, which is amazing. Super, super exciting. So you are literally, like, I would say out of all of the people that I know who have gone through this training, you are legit like NLP's biggest hype girl. Why? What is it specifically that you love about it so much?
I mean, I really feel like it's kind of what I said already, that it's just easy for my brain. I'm an INTJ, for those of you who know Myers-Briggs. So I very quickly connect with steps and strategies. And through having that structure, once I have that baseline structure, that's where I can have fun. That's where I feel freedom. Even when I was an actor, I really, really loved Shakespeare because there was a pattern to it. There was a structure to it. And so within that structure, you could really play. And I felt supported by that. So I feel very supported by the structure of NLP. And I also see how it's applicable to literally anything and everything. And I think when people talk about NLP, there's a lot of misconceptions about it or lack of understanding. And the certifications that you've done and I've done, it's basically with NLP, it was organized and systematized by these two individuals who went and followed around Milton Erickson, who's like one of the world-renowned best hypnotherapists of all time, as well as a few other therapists. So they were watching them, paying attention to how they were interacting with their clients, and then notating it, mm-hmm. and figuring out what are the commonalities, what are the things that they're saying repetitively, and they modeled essentially how to they created or figured out the system, the framework, so that it could be teachable.
Right.
And so, you know, it really is based off of a high level of expertise from a wide range of therapists and hypnotherapists and various people across the board who've got a lot of experience under their belt. So, there's little pockets of different things within NLP, you know, time technique, there's timeline therapy that we didn't even really get into. I love all the hypnosis stuff. I just love all of it. I feel like I'm not giving a great answer, but I'm like, I just love everything about it.
It's okay. The thing, so obviously you've really touched on like how NLP has helped your business, but what has it done also in your personal life?
So I would say I just even coaching myself, I call myself on bullshit so much faster. So much faster. Like when I get stuck in story, I'm almost immediately able to, for the most part, identify what are the facts and what's the story. And so I use that all the time in my business. But if I start panicking about something, even recently I was talking to a team member of mine and I was like, we need to have difficult conversations because this is part of growth and the business is not going to grow if we are not able to have these difficult conversations. So here we are. And so instead of me getting caught up in story, mm-hmm. I was able to say to him, listen, let's look at the facts. This is what happened. Anything else is an interpretation.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, the feelings don't matter right now. And he was like, feelings matter. And I was like, they're secondary. We're going to talk, we'll address your feelings, because there's something that was a behavior that created the point of challenge or problem. But we have to first look at what the facts are and just get those laid out. So this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. So what was the interpretation that we laid on top of that that caused a breakdown in communication, that caused a problem? So I'm able to do that for myself in my own business and kind of pull myself out of the spiral, and then really use it for my friends, my family members. I mean, I just call everyone on their shit now, because I'm like, I'm not here for that.
But it's so funny, because it's content. Like, what's the story that people are telling, and then what's actually like the base layer? So this helps in so many different areas. Like you just said, you know, it's not just about business and clients and coaching them. It's really about supporting a whole bunch, like anyone in any area of life, which is cool. So I like absolutely have loved this conversation and could seriously have you all day to just jam out on all the things. But, before we go, and seeing as this podcast is all about manifestation, I have a very quick story that I want to share about how I manifested you into my life.
Aww.
And then we can like tie this whole episode together, and I'll ask you one or two more questions. Is that good?
Yeah, let's do it.
I think I just said cool and good at the same time. Could. Is that good? So at the beginning of 2019, I think it was like January 2019, Jen and I connected as friends on Facebook. And honestly, guys, this was like such a big deal to me, because I had been following her since my network marketing days. It was like one of those, you know, you just see someone who's in a company. Like, I'm pretty sure my upline had told me to like go and check you out and how you had been doing all of this other stuff since. And so I was like legit fangirl status over here when we became friends on Facebook. And I don't know why, but in that moment, I just, and I've told you this, but I had this just like gut feeling. I was like, I'm going to be on her podcast. I had this intuitive knowing, and I didn't know how, I didn't know when, I just knew. And so months go by, and there were so many times where I like felt this pull, especially after I heard you on Autumn's podcast. Autumn was my old coach, and her and Jen knew each other from network marketing days too. And I heard you talking about NLP on her podcast, and something about how you had been pitched and the strategy to pitching to be on podcasts. And I was like, okay, I'm going to take her own words and I'm going to go and I'm going to pitch her. And for whatever reason, I just didn't do it. And so months go by, May rolls around, and our mutual friend, Ashley Gordon, she knew that I was going to be doing NLP in Philadelphia. And she goes, hey, you should come and see me in New Jersey after you're done your training. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, I can't wait to meet her. Her and I had been connected for, God, like almost 9 months by that point, like eight to nine months. And so I'm done my NLP training. I'm so excited to go and meet her. And she sends me a text and she goes, oh, by the way, Jen's coming. And I was like, Jen? Jen Casey? Jen Casey's coming. And I was like, okay, Kiki, play it fucking cool. Like in my head, play it cool. And it was hilarious, because the three of us, obviously you two knew each other, but the three of us connected like long lost friends. Like we had known each other for a lifetime. And it was so funny. We stayed up until like 3 o'clock in the morning, just laughing our asses off. Mm-hmm. It was so funny. And then Jen reached out to me. So we went for breakfast one morning and I started telling her my story, and I kind of saw her eyes like bug out of her head when I said it. And I was like, I literally just let it go. I was like, don't even think about it. And what, like 2 weeks later, you reached out to me, and
I feel like I said it to you that day. I was like, you just need to tell the story on my podcast.
Did you maybe say that to you?
I don't know if I said it that day or I just thought it in
maybe
my head.
I definitely said it.
Definitely said it to Michael in the car, and he was like, oh my gosh, yeah, that would be a great story. That would be a great episode.
I freaked out. It was so much fun. But literally, like, that was, a manifestation come true. And I wanted to tell you guys this story because so many of us go around trying so hard to control the outcome, right? We think that we know best about what's meant for us and what that's really like. And it's pretty much us telling the universe that we're God, and we're not, right? The universe knows what's up and it knows what's best for us. And 9 times out of 10 is going to give us something like so much better than we could have ever imagined, and even more badass than we could have ever imagined. And literally, that's how I manifested Jen into my life, and now genuinely have her as a friend. Yes. And I just want to say that I am so, so grateful for our
connection. I'm so grateful for it. And I feel like I did message you this piece, but so you were on the podcast and we were just releasing episodes as normal. Yes. And I had essentially manifested being on the Mind Your Business podcast with James Wedmore. And so I didn't know when they were releasing it, when it was coming out. They released it the same day that your podcast came out on my show.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of people he has a huge listener base. And so a lot of those people came and subscribed to my show and listened to your episode.
It was
so you had like this huge bump in numbers for your episode, which was awesome. I was like, hey, by the way, this just came out and you just got like a huge spike.
I was I was just telling someone that the other day at Prac training, actually, how like that all worked out, because James was in the practitioner training right before my master practitioner training. So it's so weird, all of these like moving pieces. And I think kudos for him for doing Prac training and then going right into his
huge live event. Yeah.
That's 600 crazy.
People.
Yeah. So before we go, I know that you have something really fucking special coming up for a select group of women for the entirety of 2020. And I would absolutely love for you to share that.
Oh, thank you. So yeah, we are doing a mastermind this year, which I'm super excited. It's called the Magnetic Mastermind. And what I've seen in the online space is there's a lot of, and I've done this too, where there's masterminds that really kind of end up being group coaching. You know what I mean? Where it's like glorified group coaching. This is a very straightforward mastermind. We're going to be meeting 3 times a year for 3 days in different areas. For those of you who are feeling called to travel, it's a higher level group of women. There are some, there are some, qualifications, of course. And so we are taking applications and we're going to be doing some phone interviews over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, we're keeping it a very intimate space, an intimate group of women. We've already got an amazing, amazing fucking group of people.
How many do you have so far?
So we have 6 people signed up so far. 5 of them were from the group that came.
I was literally there when Lily pressed like the submit for her.
Yes.
And this was the craziest thing. She pressed submit and then like, I think 10 minutes later got all of her money back for the deposit and more.
It was insane. Yeah. She's not the only one. She's like the 3rd person that happened to. And so the only reason that it hasn't, that we haven't filled it more is because I've literally only done 1 phone interview, and that one person is somebody who I know very, very well. And so, I was like, okay, well, you're a hell yes. So, we are going to be doing some phone interviews. We've got some scheduled for later today and then I'm going to be at my mastermind that I'm a part of this next week. And then so then the week of the 11th, we're going to kick off some more interviews again. So it's kind of like first come, first serve, but I'm really calling in that high level woman who, you know, just vibes with this group. So, I mean, there's some people who have been applying who, you know, have been reaching out going, well, my business financially, it's like almost there, not, you know, multiple 6 figures. Like, do I apply? And I'm like, yes, just apply. You just never know. Just apply. I love people who are fucking scrappy. Like, you've been a mannequin before. Like when we first started working together, you know, she didn't have a super successful business, but she was scrappy. And I was like, I don't know. There's something about this girl. She's got that thing, whatever that thing is. Like my intuition was like, she's going to be big. She's going to crush it. And obviously now she's done, you know, almost $400,000 since January 1st, when literally made 0 money last year. So, it's pretty insane. So for her, it's really cool to see, you know, that there's a method to the madness of that. So yeah, we're Absolutely. Calling in some cool people. I'm excited about the group. And then we're doing group coaching too, for those people who are like, oh, I don't think I can travel 3 times a year, which I totally get.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be amazing because when the podcast launches, that's going to be when you're doing the phone interviews. So if anyone is interested in applying, I will get a link from you and I will put that in the show notes. Is there any final thoughts or words of wisdom you would like to share with the audience?
Oh my goodness. I just want to say thank you because you're freaking amazing. And I'm just so grateful for our connection. And guys, like, I guess my word of wisdom is like, meet people in person. That's a big reason why I wanted to do the mastermind, because I've been traveling so much over the last 2 years, and the connections that you meet in person and create in person, the conversations that you have until 3 o'clock in the morning, as much as you want to have those conversations online, there's a different energy. There's a different vibe when you can be in the room with someone. It's true, right? And like, people go, oh, how do you get so many guests on your podcast? Or how do you get on so many podcasts? I'm like, because I meet people in person. Mm-hmm. Like, when I met you, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I ever would have heard that story in that way.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we wouldn't have had that deep connection, but I was like, oh my God, I love this human.
I love you too.
It's so funny. That's my call to people. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Like, I was just living in, I was telling Jen before we press play, is that I was living in a house of five other, like myself and I guess four other humans, who were all doing like massive things. And some of them were multiple six-figure earners, and just them. It was funny because I came into MasterPrac with a lot of upper limit shit, and I am so grateful because I released all of it. But they were like, I am charging X amount. What are you doing? Like, why? You are just as good as I am, blah, blah, blah. And there was a lot of stuff that I had to release. And being in the energy of all of these people and being able to coach people who I have looked up to for a long time and hearing some of their stuff and me being able to help them work through it was just like, I felt like a badass. I felt like a badass boss.
You are a badass. Yeah.
But it was really cool. So I absolutely agree. I think meeting people in person, getting to in-person events, being able to just network and share in that energy with other people is so, so important. Yeah. Okay. So I know everyone who is listening is going to absolutely love you. Where do they find you?
So you guys can find me pretty much everywhere, social media, website, at Hey Jen Casey. So heyjencasey.com, and also the Inner Boss Podcast.
Whoop, whoop. Make sure to
go listen to Kiki's episode. Shameless plug.
But also check out the Inner Boss Podcast and listen to all of the episodes. Jen is a ninja, literally. Like, I can't even say enough good things about you. I love you so much. I am so grateful for you being on the podcast. And everyone, go make sure to tag us in your stories at Hey Jen Casey, at Namaste Babe, and we will see you on the next episode. Bye, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please spread all those good vibes by leaving a 5-star review, as well as screenshotting this episode and tagging at Namaste Babe over in your stories on Instagram. With love and light, the fierce as fuck goddess in me recognizes and honors the fierce as fuck goddess in you. And until next time, Namaste.